And you might like to open your Bible, if you would, to the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and chapter 18. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, thank you for your word. Thank you. Thank you for thy word, even our Lord. Lord, thank you for being the word become flesh, so that thy words, as we read in your word, are full of life. It's full of you, your wonderful will and work, and your ways, which are higher than heaven, which higher than the heavens, and yet are brought down to such as us, even now. So thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. Just keeping in mind, if I can, straight off, a little illustration again, which you know. We likened the, not likened, the history is outworked, and history is done, and you turn the pages of history, and everyone lives through history at a given spot, and then they are replaced, the next spot, all that happens. History is outworking itself, and it seems slow to us normally because we live X amount of days and years, and nothing seems extraordinary sometime, most of the time. But now and then there are things that are quite dramatic and dynamic, etc. So, having said that, now, having turned the pages, and when you're on a given page, you got to finish the page before you go to the next page. You can't got to finish the page. So, if here's history, world history. Now, what do we know about this book? The book is finished. The book isn't being written. The book is finished. And God put a stamp on it in the end, Revelation 20:22. Don't add and don't subtract. You'll be in great trouble if you play with my word. So the book is finished. The book is being outworked. That's what I want you to keep in mind. It isn't something's going to happen. It's already done. It just has to be outworked. That's all that's happening. Now, having said that, for all of the world history, so it is with your life. It's being outworked. And it's finished. All finished. As it was, if you could look back, it's timeless. By that I mean, God had you in mind, us in mind, humans in mind, before there was any creation. God has them. There is no time to God. So he has all of that. So God already has it finished. Even though we're still here working it out. Keep that in mind. So now we'll exercise, if we can, over to Luke chapter 18. And in Luke 18, may I remind you, our Lord and the widow and all of that, wanting to give the visiting people at night good hospitality and all of that, needed bread and everything. So, 18 verse 6. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith to the woman. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he be along with them? The judge was going to, the pestering woman's going to get her bread, and God knows, they cry day and night, God rescue us. Verse 8, the Lord's answer, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith, or the faith, little article, the faith, on the earth? Will he find the body of truth that is to be believed? Are believers believing? Are they understanding the Bible? All the things as we look at and try to understand them. No, he's not going to find it. So you wonder, where is the Bible? Well, it isn't going to be. It doesn't mean that people aren't saved. It just means they don't know. Now, having said that a little bit, speedily is what I'm looking for. He's going to do it very fast. Now, remember, the book's written, finished. So speedily. Slide over with me, please, over to 1 Timothy chapter 4. And as we move through history, back into history and move forward, God reminded us and them, what are we to understand about history? So as we read the epistles in the New Testament, we're going to go from Acts 2 and a wonderful birth of the church in the day of Pentecost to all going downhill. So we're going to go in an apostasy. We're going to go from up here. It's going to keep going down, 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 down. Apostasy. That's what you're going to read. So I want to know how it's going to go. Speedily? Oh, speedily. How fast? If you said that. If I said you went to the McDonald's or something, someplace like that, and it's coming speedily, and 25 minutes later, you're waiting for your hamburger. And aren't you going to wonder why you haven't got a hamburger in 25 minutes, since you're the only one in line? Make it so you get it. Speedily. What, fast. So when we read speedily, our little minds got all kinds of understanding of what fast is. That's what I want to get now. 1 Timothy chapter 4, history moving along, pages. Verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, the body of truth. We just read, will I find the body of truth? Will I find believers believing? And here he is Paul telling us, Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, devils, one devil, many demons. Sliding over in the whole context to the end, chapter 4, verse 16. What are we going to do? Give heed, take heed unto thyself, Timothy, unto the doctrine and unto the doctrine. Continue in doing them. Why do you have to stay? Will I find the body of truth residing in believers? In believing? No, I'm not going to find it. So what are you going to say? Here's Paul about to depart from this life. Timothy's there. And he tells Timothy, they're going to depart. God already told you. It's not going to find it. So I come to verse 16 again. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save, A, thyself, and B, them that hear thee. And if people don't want to hear, they aren't going to hear. So you don't have to break yourself into pieces trying to get overly concerned. If they don't want to hear, they don't want to hear. But make sure you're saved and being saved. In the light of everything is happening, make sure you're safe. In the light of everything working in itself out. And when you go to 2 Timothy, you don't have to, well, turn there, just to turn the pages. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, you know, verse 1, this know that in the last days perilous times shall come, difficult, dangerous, terrible, terrible time. And then you got that chapter. And then you go to chapter 4, and I charge thee, Paul's on his last way out. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom, Preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Four, the reason you better stay with this, because save thyself and those that will hear thee. And chapter 4 here in this case, verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to know it. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. So they don't want to hear. So you better take advantage while you can. Speedily, it's coming. And here's the pages of history. And the pages of history are going. And boy, it's a long time. Years, centuries. Wow. Now, having said that little bit, sliding over, if I can, to Revelation and chapter 1. And in Revelation chapter 1, you recall, in the process, God's going to sum up everything. He started it in Genesis. He's going to finish it in Revelation. So what he started in Genesis, the tree that was planted, is going to be harvested. The fruit is going to all be harvested at the end. That's Revelation. So when I read that, and here's John, a servant, with the word slave, actually, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show unto his servants, slaves, remember, that's us guys, things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant, slave, John. Now, shortly, it's going to come to pass, shortly, all right, got speedily. And then time goes on. And he put the last chapter in, because God's doing what he's doing. And therefore, it's going to come shortly. Shortly, all these things are going to happen. Then you go to chapter 1 on the churches, verse 9, and the rest of it, verse 19. And in chapter 1, verse 19, the Lord said, write the things which thou hast seen, that's the Apostle John, the last living apostle, write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. You've seen them, that's right, you're going to see them, and they will happen, they're all going to happen. So, having said that little bit, and all going to happen, so I got that. Now, how going to speedily, Revelation chapter 22. You're going to come to the end of the book. Remember, the book's finished, so it isn't a question of writing any more in the book. The book's finished. I'll do that, since you know it, you know it anyway. Revelation 22, verse 18. I testify unto every man, 22 and 18. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of this book, of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So, God, okay. Now, chapter 22, the end, it's the end. What are you going to tell me, God? Verse 7. Behold, I, present tense, behold, I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings and prophecy of this book. I'm coming quickly. The book's finished. I'm coming quickly. Okay, I got that part a little bit. Verse 10. And he saith unto me, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. It's right now. Okay. And I'm going to slide over, if I can, over to verse 20. That's our Lord, he which testifieth these things, saith, surely I come quickly. I'm coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, quickly. So God's view is it's coming quickly. That's why you're going to read, in case we don't get there, 1 Thessalonians and all of that. Why do you say to the, what are the believers supposed to be doing? They are waiting for his coming. Present time. Well, what are we doing? We get out of bed? We're waiting for his coming. Quickly, quickly, quickly. But time goes so long. Quickly, quickly. You're waiting. You're going by your clock. There are no clocks where I am. There is no time where I am. There is no time. When you got saved, you know all these wonderful things. When you got saved, God gave you a timeless relationship to himself called eternal life. And there is no more time for you. You're in time, but there is no time. Your relationship is timeless. There is no more time. It doesn't get older, it doesn't get wiser, it doesn't change. Timeless. That's what you got. God's uncreated life, timeless. So you got that. Speedily. I got the speedily part. I need to see it from God's point of view. That's why he says you're waiting. Is the church waiting? No. Who's not, generally speaking, not across the face of the earth? They aren't waiting. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, go over to Daniel chapter 12 for a moment to see the advantage you have. Daniel chapter 12, picking up, please. God, Daniel came to the end of his life, great prophetic book, prophecy. And in Daniel, at Daniel if I can, Daniel chapter 12, Daniel's about finished like Paul was in 2 Timothy. Daniel 12, and picking up, please, in verse 8. And I heard, but I understood not. Daniel's trying to get them all, get everything together. Verse 8, and I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? How's it going to end? Verse 9, and he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed to the time of the end. You're not going to know. Space, but not in Revelation. Revelation, the book's finished. In Daniel 12, the book isn't finished in that sense. All the Lord has to be born in Bethlehem and all of those things. Now, having said that, keeping that in mind about Daniel, so we are privileged to have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. And we are on the upside speedily. The book's been finished. And we need to look to God to our work. And that's what you'd have if you took time in Daniel 2:31. And all those nations would rise and fall. And all those nations would rise and fall. And you'd come to Daniel 9. And all of that's going to happen with the Antichrist and that. All of these things happened. Not Daniel didn't see them. We see them. We're looking back. We got them all. We're all in front of us. In back of us, I should say. Now, having said that a little bit, keeping in mind, over if you would now to the Gospel of Luke again. So we have a sense from God's window, time. Time isn't, you don't want to look at it that way. Time. Time isn't an issue at all for lots of reasons. Luke chapter 22. If I can. The Lord dealing with Peter. And you will notice, if I can. And,
I'll do it. Verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, Peter, Peter, behold, Satan
hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith, don't want to lose the body of truth, you should be believing, thy faith fail not, I don't want it to fail, it's going to fail, I don't want you to fail, it's going to fail. Fail not. And when thou art converted, turn around, we're going to turn around, that means turn around, strengthen thy brethren. Now, that's what he said. Strengthen the brethren. I want you, you're going to turn around, you're going to go. I'll read verse 23. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee. I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. I'm committed. But you want to remember otherwise, that a year later, but I'm ready to go and die. Strengthen the brethren. Don't lose your faith, your relation. You walk by faith and not by sight. Don't lose your faith. That's without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can't do it in the flesh. You can't trust anything or anyone anywhere. You've got to trust God totally. That's faith. I got to reach out of myself from all other things and trust God, period. Now, so therefore, having said that, now, Peter, I got that. And what a commitment. What a commitment he is. Well, over to Matthew. Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to come right back here for the moment. But Matthew 16. And verse 21. And you recall, our Lord, he must go. From that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must, absolutely necessary, to go unto Jerusalem and to suffer many things of the elders, of the chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now, Peter, remember, you're one committed guy. Verse 22. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be, you're not going to be crucified. We'll protect you. We'll help you. You aren't going to be. But he said, it's a must. It's in the book. It's the reason the book was given. And Peter, no question, and verse 23. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So he just stood in the way. But back over to Luke 22 for a minute, if you can. And in Luke 22, sliding if I may, into verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, 34, same context. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou hast, for thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now, Peter, when you're converted, I believe, but not really. That's why the Lord said, I never trusted any of my, including Judas, all 12 of you were there, but you weren't there. But you would be. And so God, you hung in there, and that's how we get there. God's long-suffering with us. And here's Peter, and Peter's going to go and turn around and repent, and that's what he's going to do. And Peter said, I'll never back up, but he did. But he quickly recovered. Now, in his recovery, now Peter, and we have it here in chapter, in verse 32, when thou art converted, strengthen the brethren. The word strengthen, to fix firmly, establish, lock the feet on the ground so that you're solid, You want shaking, you want in fear and trembling. Lock on. Strengthen the brethren. Fix them firmly. Knowing they're gonna, am I gonna find faith when I come? No. Fix it firmly. Okay. Over to Peter. First Peter. Now, Peter, I'm interested in what Peter says to us. And in 1 Peter, picking up, please, chapter 1, you'll catch it, verse 5. Now, remember, Peter's the one that's going to strengthen the brethren. So, I got that. So, I'm interested, what's he going to say? God is going to have him write, so we see it. 1 Peter 1, 5. Who are kept... I got to read verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to reveal at the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold all kinds of testing, trials and troubles, temptations. That the trial of your faith, that's the whole issue. Am I going to find a body of truth? Strengthen the brethren. I don't want them to lose your, Peter, don't lose your faith. That's the only way you're going to get there. So, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Wow. So here's Peter telling us these wonderful things. Wonderful things. And when you come to the end of 1 Peter chapter 5, sliding if I can, over to verse 10. Chapter 5, verse 10. But God, the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after what? After that you have suffered, you got to go through the whole process, got to finish it out, got to finish the page, suffered a while, make you perfect, complete, and establish, there's your word to strengthen the brethren. God strengthen you. That's what my assignment was, said Peter. Strengthen the brethren. And strengthen, another word to strengthen, to health means to be strong physically, mentally, healthy in the heart and mind. Settle you, establish you, settle the foundation, ground you're resting on. So it all essence, well, perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. Well, that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, Peter, that was a wonderful thing. Thank you for saying that. Now, Peter, what else are you going to say to us? Second Peter, if I can. Picking up, please. Chapter 1, 2 Peter. Picking up, if I can, in verse 12. Therefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. So, Peter, you were reminded by God, and God's reminding us by you. Always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. You know all the things I'm telling you. You know them, but you need to be reminded. That's what we do, remind each other of these truths. And be established, there's your word, strengthened, established, fixed, firmly fixed. Be established in the present truth. I want you to have that. And what is the present truth? Chapter 5, among other things. Chapter 5 of, wrong direction. 1 Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, what did you tell us before? 5 and 12. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose, I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God, wherein you stand. And Peter said, listen, it's by grace. We shared it this morning. It isn't that. Participating, you got to participate. You're a participant, ready or not. So, in the process, we're a participant, and everything fails. What's the use? Everything falls short. But what's the sense of doing anything? Because it isn't anything of us flesh, it's of grace, God's wonderful grace. Grace means it's all of God. God created us, saves us, keeps us. God's wonderful person, God's wonderful life, that's what he gives you. That's why you have eternal life. God gives you his own life. Wow. So God, what are we doing? Well, God's going to go and keep us in his grace. And Paul says, and Peter says, chapter 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, hang on to that truth, among other things. Don't lose the grace of God. Otherwise, you're going to get caught up in what? Well, what's the use? See how people feel, how people think, how they do things. What's the sense? See, don't do that. Because you're looking this way. Hang on, we're going to get it this way. You don't want to do that. Nope. So therefore, now Peter, and what else are you going to tell us that's wonderful? 2 Peter, chapter 3. And in 2 Peter, chapter 3, picking up, if I may, going directly near the end, verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, strength, established. Peter, what did you do? I fell. Strengthen the brethren. You're going to fall. You're in danger. Peter said, I did it, so don't say it can't happen. I did it. From your own steadfastness, you don't want to do that. You have to understand that you're easily going to fall unless you walk by faith. It's easy. We wander, we forget, we do everything. And how well do we know the book, and how well is the book knowing us, etc. So, as we go down now, having said that, so Peter, you gave your little message to us to strengthen the brethren. Over to Revelation and chapter 3. Now, did anyone hear the message, Peter? You've been strengthening. Now we're coming to the end. Peter died, and Timothy died, and Paul died, and here we are going, and here's John, the last living apostle. So how did we do, us Christians, all the way from 30 AD up through 100 almost? What did we do? How did we do? Aha! Ephesus, they lose the first love in chapter 2, Revelation. In chapter 3, as you anticipate, verse 1, unto the angel, the messenger of the church of Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, all golden lampstands, churches, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, but thou livest and art dead. You aren't really where you should be. What do you need to do? Verse 2, be watchful and strengthen. Now there's your word again. Strengthen the things that remain. Lock them in, fix them in. You're going to lose them. And they're about, the verb, you are about to lose. They are about to die. The truth that you got left in 100 AD approximately, it's going to disappear. It's gone. It's on its way out right now. It's about to die. So if you don't grab what you got, you won't have anything. Which leads us to what? Revelation chapter 3, Laodicea. You have need of nothing. The blessing, the benefits, the bliss. What happened to the churches? Here we are. I told you to strengthen the things that remain. So the wonderful truths, and we're shooting for them all the time. God didn't change. The dumb system changed. So we're not going by the system. The system will never get there if we follow the system. We want to follow the scriptures, not the system. We'll miss out totally. We'll be sitting there, bumps on a log, trying to be, I'm a Christian, as everything happens. Now, so having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, things that are ready to die, ready to expire. So therefore, and so when you come to Revelation chapter 3, and you're going to come to the end of chapter 3, verse 21, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. And now you're going to end. Remember the book, the pages are turning. So where are we? Well, we're here, this side. We're in the Laodicean period. Okay, so what's next? The page is going to turn. That's right, it's going to turn. So when we go from Revelation 3, 22, we go to chapter 4, and the church is gone. The church has gone up, been raptured, taken up. So, where we are. So here's speedily. But we aren't, history's all working itself out. So God, here we are looking. Is the book, pages are turned, it's all finished. So we turn back to chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. Look at chapter 6. In the process. And in chapter 6, verse 16, you know, and this is the, I'll read verse 15, I guess. Reluctantly. But the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bond, that's slaves, servants, employees, and every free man hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. 4, verse 17, the great day of his wrath has come. The page turns. Great day of his wrath has come, and who shall be able to stand? Well, no one. No one's going to stand. God's going to move. Well, here we are. Well, it's one thing to watch a page be outworked, which is happening. But then it comes time to turn the page. We're at the point of turning, I think. We're certainly closer than yesterday on the point of turning. So now, having said that, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to have to adjust. Over, if you would please, to Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 3, Jeremiah chapter 2. Chapter 2, better. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, left God out, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out, dug a hole with a cistern and all of that, in the ground with rock and all that. And hewed them out, cisterns, broken systems that can hold no water, no water at all. So, verse 19, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, thy backslidings shall reprove thee. Know therefore and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts. Now sliding down to verse 25. I got to read verse 24. A wild ass used to the wilderness that stuffeth up the wind at her pleasure, that's a female donkey, and in her occasion, who can turn her away? All they that seek her will not weary themselves. In her month, they shall find her. In other words, you're going to have to wait. The donkey that's wild, all caught up in her passions and stuff, it's the wrong time to try to help the donkey. Let the donkey alone and get it over with. What are they doing? Israel is like that donkey. The next verse. With their idolatry. Withhold thy foot from being unshod, and thy throat from thirst. But thou sayest, there is no hope, nor no hope, no, for I have loved strangers, and after them will I go. Idolatry. There's no hope. What's the use? Think of this morning. What's the use? It just ends. Nothing ends very good. No? So therefore, we turn around and get caught up in the system. Caught up in the system. That's the idolatry. We have no hope. So we might as well live it up. That's what you got. Now, having said that, chapter 18. And in chapter 18, you remember now the parable, the wonderful illustration the Lord uses of the potter and the potter's house, and the pottery is marred, and the potter is smart, able to go and redo the pottery and make it again. Verse 4, 18:4. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, in the hand of the potter, so he made it again, another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make. In other words, he could do something. You could be all goofed. I'll fix it. Israel, you said there's no hope. There's no hope. We're just going to go. But there is hope. There's God. But you're going to go anyway. That's right. But let it be known, the potter's house, I could fix it again. Verse 6. O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel. I can do it for you, but you won't look to me. You won't let me. You're set. Will I find the body of truth when I come? No. Why not just fix things? Because you love it. You say out of your mouth, there's no hope, but we can get caught up in the system. Hang on to that. And as you read, we don't have time, but over in chapter 18, verse 8, if that nation against whom I pronounced turn from their evil, I'll repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them. Verse 10, and if it do evil in my sight, that obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said, and I would benefit them. Now, I'm looking to see, are you going to trust me or not? If you trust me, you get the benefit. If you don't, you're going to reap what you're doing. So, God, the nations. Here's Israel. But here's all the nations are given this. All they got to do is fix things. Russia, China, Iran. Turn to God. They aren't going to turn to God. They aren't going to turn to God. They got a system. They're locked into the system. So now, having said that little bit, and there's no repentance. There's no repentance. Overwood in Revelation. In Revelation chapter 14. Remember, you can fix things. But the day comes, You can't fix things. The day's coming. Fix things. We wait. Chapter 14. Picking up, please, in chapter 14, in verse 9. And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast and his image and receive it, receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same," verse 10, "shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation," God's judgment, "and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." You can't repent. Once you get that mark, you're locked in. Once you take the mark, you're locked in. Wow, sobering, isn't it? You could repent. But if you, in the tribulation, if you guys all want to get that mark, Revelation 13, then that's what you're going to get. And you're not going to repent. And then, I'll just do it quickly. Chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. You picking up verse 20, you know. "And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons," devils, "and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood," idolatry, "which neither can see nor hear nor walk." Verse 21, "neither repented they of their murders nor of their sorcery," that's drugs, lots of drugs, "and of their fornication nor of their thefts." No repentance. And keep reading elsewhere, chapter 16. In chapter 16 and verse 9, "And the men were scorched with great heat." I'm telling you, I don't know. "The men were scorched with great heat and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory." You would think you'd want to get rescued. They don't want to. Once they get that mark, they're locked on like the devil. He isn't going to change. Demons aren't going to change, and those people aren't going to change. No, they're not. With even when terrible, terrible things are happening to them, they will not repent. They will not repent. You have to think about that. That's sobering. "Will I come? Will I find the body of truth?" No. No. And here we are looking. The book's finished. Here we are. So God, looking at these wonderful things, the adjustments, The clock, the calendar, they're all going, turning the pages. We're at a point in history where we're turning. And to say it, one of many things, just think of the adjustments. You make adjustments, don't get conditioned. I'll help you. We are Americans. We are under this wonderful republic by the flag. The Declaration, the Constitution, that's where we're locked in. Why are we locked into that? Because that is resting on God. They put the Constitution, Declaration on God. That's why we got it. So we got that. But, right now, where are we going? Marxism, communism, socialism. That's what you got. But we're resting. But that's godless communism, socialism, Marxism, godlessness. We're going to leave God? No. No. So a God, I'm not getting into this system. I understand it. I understand where it's going. It has to go there in order to have the Antichrist and all these things. I recognize that. We do understand. The book's finished. We know what's going to happen. So therefore, how we are looking. But I'm not going in that. I'm not going to get conditioned by that which they're trying to condition us. to the socialism, Marxism, and all of that. They want us to get conditioned. Control, control, control. Mass, mass, mass forever. One guy said he's going to have mass for the rest of his life to protect him. I understand all the variations in that. But my question, if I could live long enough and see, I'm interested to see how the world goes. World history says what? No mask. All of history until now. All no mask. Nope, that's how we handle everything. You have an immune system. Most of you? Your immune system is what? Breathing in. You breathe in the bugs, the germs, all Connecticut germs, United States germs. You breathe them all in, right? You got them all. And your immune system adjusts, right? And a fellow comes down from living in an igloo in the North Pole. He comes down, he and this iceberg comes down, floating down. And he comes down to us, and here he comes. And wow, here he comes, wow. And we tell him, because you can catch, he isn't, his immune system's what? It's used to polar bears and whales. He isn't used to our immune system. Easier. If you get down to Mexico, a little bit, I've been there. Down to Mexico. You can't eat the lettuce and everything. They eat stuff right out of the ground. We buy it at the ShopRite. We eat stuff right out of the ground, right? They have no problem. Bugs and icky. But we get it and we're dead. We got to go to the hospital. Wow. Because our immune system. If you keep blocking your immune system, how can it work? Will you please tell me? That's my question. I'm interested to see how it's going to go. Because you just heard it on the news, the dumb thing is building up, and you're more susceptible to get something. The doctor said that. Who's going to listen to him? Wow. Interesting days. Adjust to them. Don't get caught up and conditioned by them. In a wheel, all the spokes are there. All the spokes, like a bicycle wheel. All the spokes. And that's each personal life. We has our own wheel. Our work, our home, our school, where we go to the grocery store, where we go to the drugstore, which our doctor, all our relationships, everything is in these spokes. Each spoke represents something. And in the center of the wheel, without anything in the center, it's disaster. But when I, big I, pride, P-R-I-D-E, is in the center, it tries to run all these things. So as you hear the news and physical things and mental things and family things, and you got them, and they're all coming on these spokes. And who has to handle them? The guy in the middle. That's you. It's your life. And you're worried about this, and then you get caught up in that, and then you get caught up in this, and you're trying to manage your wheel. And depending on how things are going and how it's happening, you may or may not be doing very good. So here's the I trying to run everything. And the system is playing it to control all the things out here, to get into the center of the wheel, to control the person. I'm going to get the person. And so, God, what do I need to do? I got to get out of this place because I can't do it. So I'm going to look to God to what? To save me, to be my God and Savior. And I'm going to do that. So when I look to God, and God wants to be where? At the center of the wheel, the center of your life. His will, His word, His way is to be outworked in your life. And no one anywhere, in any way, shape, or form, can stop it. The devil can't stop it. We can't do all this stuff. But the devil can't stop it. No one can stop it. It's what God wants. And God has no problem doing it. But I have to want it. But I have to keep God in the center. And then all the stuff that would come in, instead of me getting worried, sick, and falling apart, trying to solve everything in life, government and everything, I don't have to do that. I can just adjust. You adjust to the gas prices, don't you? You adjust to that. The food, you adjust to that. You adjust. You don't get conditioned by it. I don't want to get conditioned by it. You don't want to. It's going up and down. I'll allow for that in order to put gas in my car. But I'm not going to get conditioned by it. I'm caught up in the spoke coming in with all of it going up and down. Oh, that's conditioned. You're worried about it. And you know who else can be in the center of that? You could have another person. You're so caught up in another person for some reason in your life. And that person in the center of the wheel is flavoring everything you do, trying to work. The same thing is true with fear. The virus, anything. The COVID can be in the center of the wheel. And it flavors everything you do, trying to work. Do you understand? So you got to keep God in the center. So you're free. The truth will set you free. So you can handle it. Otherwise, you're not going to get caught. And I don't care if you're big, small, little, rich, poor. What difference does it make? You're subject to it the same as all of us are. And you aren't going to get out of it. Time. I'm trying to hurry for you. To get you to see God. So we need to go and make sure that God does a wonderful thing for us. Over to 2 Timothy, where we were. Appreciate your patience. I can't do any more. Don't worry. Don't fret. Keep the center of the wheel properly and do it. And ask yourself when you sit there and say, well, you don't have to say like this morning, we did all those things. What's the use and all that? Participant. I'm a participant. I'm a participant in the light, not in the darkness. So if you don't mind, I'm going to participate in the light and trust God. I see things as they really are. They aren't lovely. What's happening in Israel isn't wonderful. And you don't want to get Israel. If I was over there, it's good or not. I would just go bomb. I'd go Gaza and bomb them and get them out of there. All those missiles, I'd destroy them. One shot. I'd go in. Well, you got to kill some children. Then you may have to kill them. And if you've already been in war, here comes the little kid down the road with a bomb. And here you are in your vehicle, right? And here they come. And you know if the little kid gets to you, the mother's going to push the trigger. And you're dead. What are you going to do? How do you stop it? I'm asking you, how would you do it? Well, that's fair. You're all going to be blown up. It's the way the game is played. They don't have any rules. Marxism, socialism, what's happening in our country has no rules. There is no right and wrong. It's anything that makes it work. Lying, cheating, maneuvering, imprisonment, twisting, change, all of it goes. Make sure you adjust to it and see it. Don't get conditioned by it and become a slave to it. Don't do that. I know what's there. You know what's there. God knows it's there. So what are we going to do? We're going to adjust, not get conditioned by it. I don't want to get that. You don't want to get it. And therefore, Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, in closing, appreciate your patience again. Verse 12, Paul is going to die, but, verse 12, for which cause I also suffer these things, in prison the last time, and Nero's going to take his head, etc. For which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why not? For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed, deposited, my heart, my soul, my society, my system, my family, my friends, my enemies, my dumb the country. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed, deposited unto him against that day. So Paul, what are we doing? We're looking. And in the meantime, we're waiting. Present tense. We're waiting. We say, well, we may all die. He hasn't come yet. Maybe, maybe. So maybe, maybe not. We don't know that. But we aren't looking to how the system works, how you feel, or how anyone else feels. God tells you, we're in his presence, I'm coming. He has no clock. And he told you, I'm in the process of coming, and that's how you're to operate. I'm coming for you. Operate that way and be blessed. And go down the corridor of time. Don't get conditioned. Adjust. Adjust. I got to pray. Appreciate everything. God, thank you very, 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 very much. God, it's God, so many wonderful things, God. You got to help us. You got to help us understand and to be able to understand enough to practice, to have the benefit of faith, trusting you. And as we trust you, our God, we learn, begin to understand. So thank you very much for loving us. Thank you for caring. Thank you, God, that it's we can make it, God. Thank you that you can be at the center of the wheel, the Lord of our life, God. You're the boss. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.